I want to start my remarks with a video that shows David LeLang talking with us. He talked with us last week about the bridge. You'll remember that. Today he talks to us about church shifts.
In the Renaissance, Reggie McNeil shares three shifts that the church needs to make. The first shift is a shift from an inward focus to an outward focus. The next shift is from a focus on developing programs to a focus on developing people. And the third shift is a shift from having just institutional eyes to having spiritual eyes. These are the three shifts that we need to make in our churches. The first shift is from an inward focus to an outward focus. You see, the great commandment that Jesus gives to us in Matthew 22, to love God and to love our neighbor, cannot be fulfilled in church. We need to see that church is not an end unto itself. Church should be a place where we gather, where we worship, where we are encouraged, but also where we are trained and sent out into life, into our communities, to be the aroma of Christ. The second shift is a shift from a focus on developing programs to a focus on developing people. We have bought into the lie that if we build it, they will come. We have measured our success by the quality of our programs instead of by the quality of our people. We have not realized that church activity is not synonymous with spiritual vitality. So are we just entertaining people? Or are we really developing disciples? Are we preaching to inform? Or are we preaching to see transformation? When it comes to membership, are we asking people just to give a little bit, to serve on a committee, and to show up when they can? Are we asking people into a deeper discipleship? Are we asking them to commit their whole selves to the work of Christ? We need to make that shift from programs to people. The third shift is a shift from an institutional perspective to a spiritual perspective. In treating my diabetes, what I found is I can't measure my blood sugar with a thermometer. That would be ridiculous. In the same ways, we need to change the ways in which we measure whether or not we are advancing the kingdom. Do we just rely on the three B's, buildings, budgets, and behinds, or attendance? Or are we measuring other things, like spiritual impact in the community, whether or not the community is getting better, whether or not people are becoming disciples? Let me ask you this question. Are your session meetings just business meetings? Or are they a place where people grow spiritually? Are you selecting elders just because they're great administrators or because they're spiritual leaders foremost? We need to make a shift from an institutional perspective to a spiritual perspective.
Something to think about. We've been talking about ministry these last 4 weeks, about how we can do ministry in a world that has changed from what it was 50 years ago when Hope and Highland churches were organized. In those good early years, both our churches were busy doing good ministry with their congregations and their pastors and with the community. But we know that the world has changed. The perception and the needs of people are different now from what they used to be. Do you remember the image from last week of the bridge? The bridge was meant to connect one side of the river to the other side. Unfortunately, during Hurricane Mitch, that river in Honduras changed its course and relocated itself over there so that the bridge didn't touch it at all. The bridge was meaningless. Has that happened in the church? Is there a new normal that changes the needs and expectations of our communities? And if so, how must the church change so that what we do and the way we do it helps people who desperately need to know the love of God so that they can hear the message we believe with all our hearts. Today, David Lalang has invited us to imagine these shifts the church can and must make in order to connect with the people of our day, of our community, so that they can find God. And I hope that we will all spend some time thinking about that, because this provides crucial insight for the ministry that Hope Highland might do in the years to come. I've also been showing these video clips of the new worshiping communities each week. Partly, I wanted us to see and celebrate the new things the Presbyterian Church USA is doing. But I need to be honest. I also hoped to show us a variety of new ways of doing ministry, to open our minds and hearts to the thought that we don't have to do it the way we've always done it. There are other ways that God can be worshiped and served. So I hope that you're seeing these new ways as ways we can show God's love to the world around us. So Hope for Life Chapel, what a fascinating story. But Hope for Life Chapel is one very different but powerful way of worshiping and serving Jesus Christ and helping other people to find the love and grace of God for their lives. Through all these ideas and images, we are moving toward our own opportunity, our chance to reimagine the ministry and mission of Hope Highland Church. Our task for today, as you go into your groups, is to look at the resources that we have for ministry, now, of course, and in the future. For this is of crucial importance to us as the church looks to the future. We need to know what our resources are, and you are the ones who know. You know who we are, what we have, what we bring to ministry. The truth is, I think, sometimes we feel like we don't have much to offer. I don't. Maybe you think you don't. Maybe we wonder if we do as a group. And when you look at the scripture, you find many stories where that is part of the story we're hearing. Think about how the disciples felt one day out on the hillside as Jesus was teaching this large crowd that had come and been there listening all day long. And the disciples go to Jesus to remind him the day is getting late. You need to send the people away. They need something to eat, Lord. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, "You give them something to eat." They were mystified. They were shocked. How can we feed 5,000 people? We don't have money to buy that amount of food. Even if there were that much food around here we could buy, how would we feed them? Do you remember what Jesus said? He asked them, "What do you have?" And they looked around, and what they found was 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not very much. Even for the 12 disciples and Jesus, it wouldn't be very much. But for a crowd of 5,000 men and the additional women and children, it was really nothing. It was nothing. But Jesus called them to bring me the loaves and the fish, and he blessed that food so that when it was broken and when it was distributed among the people, there was enough for them all with food left over. 12 baskets of leftovers. So today Jesus asks us, what do we have to offer Jesus for ministry? What hopes, what passions for God's people do we have here in this place? 1698 South Belcher Road. What passions and hopes and dreams for ministry do we have in this place? What resources can we bring to the Lord for his blessing and for us to use in ministry? That's our task for today. To think about the gifts we have, as many as we can name, to value them, to lift them up, to bring them to let Christ decide how to bless and use them. But let me shift the metaphor. Not loaves and fishes, but parts of the body. We are the body of Christ. Some may be eyes or ears or hands or feet. I've seen groups where they drew out a kind of a fat stick figure. What's a fat stick figure? Anyway, they would give that to everybody and say, "Where are you? Which part of the body do you think represents you? And write your name there. Put a star there. Put a heart there. Put something there that shows that's who you think you are. Are you a mouth? Are you a hand? Are you the feet? What part of the body are you?" I have, never mind, I can't remember what I have. It's a little plaque in my house. It says, "Even gray hairs can be beautiful." Meant to bring it today. You know, some of us might be the gray hairs. But you know that when your knee or your hip or your back hurts, your whole body hurts. All the parts of the body count. All the parts of the body are important in the way the body functions. Today, as we look at the parts of the body of Christ, at the resources we have for ministry, I hope that your groups will be insightful and discerning as you make lists of resources. The people, the facilities, the histories, the hopes, the plans and intentions, the neighborhood. After all, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. All we have counts. Everything counts. It's like stone soup. You can start with water in a pot with fire underneath and a rock. But as the people bring their contributions, the onions and the carrots and the cabbage and the corn, the meal becomes fragrant. Just walk in our kitchen or Hambly Hall, you'll smell that soup. The meal becomes fragrant and nutritious and tasty. And in that story of the village where the people were reluctant to feed the travelers, the village became a community. And God's grace was evident for all the people. Let us pray.